we go now, baby. We are right back in to the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe button right down there. And once again, baby, we are coming in hot. Once again, coming off another winning show. 8-3 for me and the boys there on Friday's show. So we're going to try to bring that winning energy into Monday Night Football. We have four total picks for that. Myself and Jason Logan, who will be along here in a matter of seconds. And in the second half of the show, Brad Powers will be by to discuss some college football futures and, of course, some early bets for the week ahead in college ball. Before I bring in my first guest, Jason Logan, guys, do me a favor. If you like the show, it's very easy to let us know. If you've been winning with us and you're not subscribed to the channel, what are you doing? Hit that sub button right down there. Also, if you're in the live chat right now, or if you're watching the replay, hit us up. Let us know in the comments there who you like to win tonight on Monday Night Football. Maybe some look-aheads that you like for, what is it, already week six that we're going into for the NFL season. So, yeah, let the good times roll here. Let them keep on rolling on Before You Bet. Let's bring in my first guest here, J-Lo, Jason Logan. J-Lo, before we get in to the action for Monday Night Football, you probably knew it was coming. I got to ask you about your Dallas Cowboys. Were you sick to your stomach watching that performance last night?
Luckily, I work like a lot. I'm busy on Sunday nights and writing from getting ready for the next week. So I just was kind of like following along on my phone. And every time I would go to follow on my phone, they were up by another touchdown, up by another touchdown. And then I was catching some of the low lights of Dak Prescott out there throwing it around. I had the under in that game. It became very clear that the under was not going to hit early on. The most sickening thing, though, despite being a Cowboys fan and watching that and watching Dak's performance, I had Brandon Ayuk over 58.5 yards receiving. He finished with 58.
Yes.
I had right on the nose. That was nasty. And the thing is, he had a 15-yard gain called back due to a penalty. Like, and then they went up another 21 points, and that was that. Sitting them. So gambler giveth and gambler taketh away.
Yeah, somebody had said last night, I forget, someone tweeted it. They said the Dallas Cowboys are like a bully. They'll beat up on the little guys, but once they get smacked, they don't smack back. And there's some truth to that. And you know who else that reminds me of? I hate to say it, but I got to be fair. My Miami Dolphins a little bit. They beat the living crap out of the bad teams, but they don't really hang with the good teams. They'll have a chance to hopefully prove me wrong in 2 weeks when they're in Philadelphia on Sunday night for Sunday Night Football. Guys, we have a poll up in the live chat there. Let us know what your best bet is for tonight's game. J-Lo, let's get into our best bets for tonight's game down in Las Vegas, where we have the Green Bay Packers in town. My best bet for this one, I'm going to take the Packers to cover the spread here. They are a 2.5-point underdog for this game, and they have been fantastic after a loss. Of course, they're coming off of a rough loss last week to the Detroit Lions. They are 14-5 ATS after a loss since the start of the 2019 season. This coincides with when Matt LaFleur took over the team. And yes, it helps that many of those wins were when Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback. But let's give the head coach a little bit of credit here. He's made adjustments and has gotten his team in a good position to bounce back. So a big gap favoring the Packers in two key areas, third down and red zone offense. And I think the ability to make plays in these two areas could be the difference in the game. 10th versus 30th on third down, 5th versus 22nd in the red zone. Both in favor of, obviously, the Green Bay Packers. And Green Bay is finishing strong. Las Vegas isn't. This is a matchup between teams ranked 1st and 29th in second half points. First, of course, belonging to the Packers. So if it's tight going into the second half, don't be surprised to see Green Bay pull away. Okay, J-Lo, let's take a trip to Prop City. We got three of them. Get us started.
All right, so I'm going to go, and this may, you know, we're looking at this Raiders offense, and it ranks at the bottom in a lot of offensive metrics out there. So, of course, I'm going to go with the quarterback to go over his passing yards. So I'm taking Jimmy Garoppolo over 238.5 passing yards, -110. It's out there. This market actually has moved as high as 242 at some places, 242.5. We didn't get to see him last week. He was out due to a concussion, but the last time he was on the field, 324 yards against Pittsburgh in week three. This offense, while it does rank low in a lot of ratings, it's seventh in the NFL right now in success rating, and even better when Jimmy Garoppolo is under center. I will say the Green Bay Packers, if you take their defensive stats, specifically their passing defensive stats, for face value, They're puffed up. They played a lot of bad quarterbacks. You had Justin Fields when he was inside of his head there in week one. You had Desmond Ridder. And then you had the combo of Derek Carr and Jameis Winston against the Saints. And then last time we saw them, they got blown out by the Lions. And Jared Goff and that passing offense, they didn't have to do much. You know, they played safe in the second half. They rushed for over 200 yards. So really, Green Bay wasn't forced to play the pass much in that one. They were just getting beat up on the ground. And most player projections here for Jimmy G as well, too. Over 250 with a ceiling of 260. You know, he's coming back. And I think he's going to get it done here at home, or at least get over 240 passing yards tonight.
Okay, some support for Jimmy G there. Next up, I have some support for Romeo Doubs. I'm going to take him to go over his receiving yard total, set at a modest 47.5, minus 115 on that one. So he's building strong chemistry with Jordan Love here. 25 targets in the last two games, receiving yard totals of 95 and 73 his last two times out. Raiders, they're 25th in opponent completion percentage. This has been an area where Jordan Love has struggled a little bit, but I do think this game sets up well for him. So hopefully we do see a high completion percentage on a bunch of targets going in Doobs's direction. It might only take a couple catches to go over that number. Okay, J-Lo, final prop. Going back to the well for something Jimmy G related. What's up
that's,
next?
That's right. I can't deny that handsome devil. Yes. I'm going to go over 1.5 passing touchdowns. This one out there is big as plus 105, as low as minus 106 out there. So, you know, shop around and try to find the positive money on this one. But Jimmy G, he's passed for 2 touchdowns in two of his 3 starts this season before missing week 4 with that concussion. Devontae Adams expected to play here tonight despite the shoulder injury. You know, he's going to want to score one against his former team. And then Jimmy G's got some awesome chemistry going with Jacoby Myers as well, too. He's a guy that came out and said, I missed Jimmy G last week when he wasn't there. When's the last time you had someone actually say, I missed Jimmy G that wasn't Jimmy G's grandma? You know what I mean? This is his fourth go around with this group of receivers. So he's starting to build the chemistry with his receivers. Player models out there, pretty positive for this one too. They're all at 1.5 or higher in terms of projected TD passes for Garoppolo. So that's given us some pretty good positive expected value on this prop. Like I said, out there at plus 105.
Okay, there you have it. Our 4 best bets for Monday Night Football coming up in probably around 10 minutes time here. Brad Powers will be by, but until then, J-Lo, let's kick around a couple topics. Let's play a couple games like we typically do on the Monday show. The first game we're going to play, futures bet to make today. We've given out a few of these already. The futures bet that I am making today is for the Pittsburgh Steelers to go under their new win total of 8.5. You could take under 8.5 wins for the Steelers at even money over at FanDuel. This is the worst team in the NFL that has a winning record. They absolutely stink. They had no business whatsoever winning that game versus the Ravens yesterday. Ravens receivers dropping balls and falling down all over the field. We had Lamar Jackson gift them an interception. That's one of the worst balls Lamar Jackson is going to throw in his entire career. So just a comedy of errors for the Ravens. A couple fumbles in that game as well. You take a look at the Steelers here through 5 games. Their offense has generated 5 touchdowns through 5 games. 26 in yards per play. The O-line's allowing the 4th most pressure. Kenny Pickett, who everyone was very high on coming into the season, he still hasn't thrown for 250 yards in a game. And this defense is totally overrated. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers defense has a reputation of being good from past seasons, and people just assume they're good. They are not good. 24th in yards allowed per play, 26th in yards per rush allowed. And the rest of the schedule isn't really easy. A bunch of average to good teams to a few really good ones. The only 2 bad teams that remain on their schedule are the Cardinals and the Patriots. Now, they do need 6 more wins to go over this number of 8.5, but they are way too dependent on the other team making mistakes for them to win games, just like in that game versus the Cleveland Browns on Monday Night Football a couple weeks ago when the Browns had 4 turnovers in that one. So I think the Steelers are a total fraud. I think that they stink. I think that they're the worst team in the NFL that wins. Not the worst team in the NFL, the worst team that has a winning record.
So, sure. Sure. Really, 3-2.
Yeah, like two of their three wins, they were outplayed by the other team, in my opinion. So, yeah, under 8.5 wins. Yeah, they're bad. They're not the worst team in the NFL. I think that distinction belongs to the team that you're going to highlight here.
Yeah.
Your futures bet the place today. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so maybe this is just my Cowboys rage coming out and trying to take it out on somebody else. But New York Giants to finish with the worst record in the NFL right now at plus 700. Wow. So let's look at what we've seen so far, which is not much. We've got Daniel Jones with a neck injury. That could leave the team with Tyrod Taylor under center if he's unable to return. And they're going to take a pounding from the Bills this week. What are they, 15-point underdogs against the Bills? Mm-hmm. So this price is only going to change after they lose by 21 to Buffalo. So grab it while you can. They are the fourth overall choice on the board behind some teams that have kind of played better recently, and the Giants just seem to be trending down. You've got a really tough second half of the schedule coming up here. They've got three straight on the road between week 9 and week 11. And then the home stretch of the season sees them going up against a lot of teams that could be contending for playoff spots given the current standings. They take on teams like Green Bay and New Orleans. They take on Philadelphia twice. They take on the LA Rams, a team that could be contending for a wild card spot in the NFC West. So the road gets a little bumpier, and it's been really, really bumpier here. So I think this is about as good a price as you're going to get on the Giants to finish with the worst record at plus 700.
Yeah, they were significantly outplayed by the Dolphins yesterday. I think the yard per play battle was 9.1 to 3.7, something that. The Giants' offense didn't score a touchdown in that game. Now, they lost by 15. They should have lost by 30.
Felt like they lost by a million, right? Like it's one of those games where it's like, yeah, that should have been a lot worse.
Yeah, Miami, they were doing that thing. You know, I'm a Dolphins fan. They were having a lot of fun on the sideline. They were playing with their food a little bit. That
Did I see Tua actually smiling after throwing an interception?
I think that one of the players had something to say to him, one of the Giants defenders. But that pick six, when he threw into triple coverage, I'm not going to defend that. It looked like they, when I say playing with their food, I think he was trying to get Jaylen Waddle a touchdown, because the play before he threw to him in the end zone, it looked like he did get interfered with Waddle, but the refs didn't throw the flag. So that's why they were playing with their food a little bit. And that was almost one of the worst beats of the year. Yeah. A lot of people, including myself, were on Dolphins first half -6.5. And of course, they get the ball back and come down the field and kick the field goal to take care of business. But that was almost really, really bad. But yeah, the Giants, I don't know if they're going to win another game this season. And we talk about roster construction. What were they doing with the way they built Darren Waller as their big-time offensive playmaker?
No, they've got cracks all over that foundation. And as good as a head coach as Dable is, I mean, you saw it last year. They were able to get momentum at the start of the season because they played one of the weaker schedules right out of especially out of the gate. Played a lot of home games, played a lot of bad teams. They were able to get momentum going. And then they pulled off some close wins and comeback wins and stuff like that against better teams. And this year they're facing, I think their schedule is at least ranked 30th or worse out there. So they've got a really, really tough schedule. And then you look at the division too. I mean, Dallas, despite what we saw last night, Dallas is still a very good team. Philadelphia's the best two-way team in the NFC. And don't sleep on Washington. Washington come out and punch you in the mouth too.
Yeah, it's going to be a long season there for New York Giants fans. Okay, on to our next segment. Everyone's favorite segment here on the Monday show. Do they actually suck? And this is going to be a popular topic in sports media this week. And apologies to producer Mick, our resident New England Patriots fans. But the topic of this edition of Do They Actually Suck is Patriots head coach and general manager Bill Belichick. And this is hot on the heels of the Patriots being outscored 72-3 in their last two games. They are 1-4 on the season. So what we're seeing from Belichick this season, this isn't a reflection of his place in history or where he was during his peak, but he can no longer get by on that reputation of where he was during his peak. And you can't stay on top forever here, guys. He's 71 years old. Players get old, and so do coaches. So he's not always going to be as great as he was during the dynasty, two decades. So you can't stay on top forever. Mm-hmm. And it's probably debatable as to whether or not he's still a good head coach. I don't think he's a top 10 coach in the NFL anymore. But it's not debatable at all that he actually and absolutely sucks as a general manager and a team builder. So this team has spent a lot of money in free agency over the past couple seasons, and the return has been awful. They've always been awful at drafting for the most part. And the way this Patriots roster is constructed, it's one of the worst rosters in the NFL. And you take a look at the quarterback situation here. You have Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. We knew last year that this wasn't it. Yet what did they do? They run it back with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. Big shock. It's not working. And to defend those guys just a little bit, look at the weapons that they have, the toys that they have to throw to. The top two pass catchers on the Patriots here this season, Kendrick Bourne and Hunter Henry. Does that sound like a team that can compete for a playoff spot? Absolutely not. And why does Belichick always surround himself with complete losers? You see these guys, the Josh McDaniels, for example, who we'll see tonight, go to other teams and absolutely embarrass themselves. You know, everyone made fun of the Matt Patricia thing last year. Who was the one who put Matt Patricia in that position as offensive coordinator of the team? It was Bill Belichick's decision. So just awful roster construction. And the thing is, a lot of bad players, and he's not putting them in a position to succeed. So maybe we'll give him the benefit of the doubt as far as being a head coach is concerned. But as far as being a general manager, I think he should relinquish those duties because he sucks as a GM. J-Lo, what do you think of that take?
Yeah, it's definitely to steal. If you're a big Star Wars nerd, you've got to let the past die. And I think that's what the Patriots got to start doing here. I think Belichick is someone that they can, you know, maybe lean on for experience. And I feel that Belichick gets a pass. As long as the Patriots defense is doing well, that Belichick's doing his job and the rest of it falls on the offensive coordinator. The fact that he installed Patricia and who was it? Ben, what's his face? Tweedledee and Tweedledum last year. Two guys that never coached on offense, a special teams coach and a defensive coach, had them running an offense with like a third year quarterback and then pointing the finger at the quarterback. That there is a I won't say fireable defense, but definitely something they need to look at and say, hey, maybe you don't do this for your guys. And Bill O'Brien is a big step up, and I think Bill O'Brien is a solid offensive coordinator, but they're giving him nothing to play with here as well too. And that, again, if Bill Belichick is the guy making personnel decisions, they had an opportunity to snap some guys up. They had DeAndre Hopkins visiting Foxborough. They had, I believe, Dalvin Cook was there visiting Foxborough as well too. At points during the offseason in those next team markets, the New England Patriots were a favorite to land both of those talents. Those two guys would come in handy very, very much. They went and grabbed the ghost of Ezekiel Elliott. He hasn't done anything. The wide receiving room is you know, missing a star receiver. Defenses just don't respect this team at all. And the proof is in the pudding. I mean, we want to look at from the 2000 to 2019, the Brady years, the golden years. These guys covered almost 59% of the time. And we're like, you know, just getting a ton of points thrown against them every single week and continued to cover. Since Brady left, Patriots covered just 45% of the time. Let's look at them as underdogs, which was a very rare spot when Brady was there. 9-17 as underdogs, 6-20 as underdogs. And you're only going to see them as underdogs more. That's with padding the points. That's with giving them, you know, and balancing things out, supposedly with the great equalizer of the point spread. And they're still coming up short. So 100%, I think they suck. I think the Patriots need to really, you know, don't drag this out. Celebrate what they've done, but it is time to move on from that group and get yourself some younger, more energetic brains in there, and you know, maybe you pull the plug and start drafting for a quarterback. Go, you know, tank for Caleb Williams. Go tank for one of these great quarterbacks that are out there in this draft coming up.
Yeah, all that said, I don't think it would be fair for the Patriots to fire Bill Belichick. Like
you could never fire him. He would have to step down, you know.
Yeah, Patriots fans, you pump the brakes here a little bit, guys. You won, what, 6 Super Bowls and 9 appearances, and all of a sudden you're not good for a couple seasons, and everyone's acting like the sky is falling. I listened to a lot of Bill Simmons, and he's kind of leading this as Belichick might be the first head coach to be fired.
Well, I don't think
this season. They're not going to fire Belichick in season. I think it's either a situation where they ask him to step down as a whole, or, like I said, maybe just relinquish the GM duties. And Rob Kraft says, hey, we want you just to focus on coaching. Josh McDaniels will probably be available again to come in and join the offensive staff. They've had success together before. So, yeah, I think that there's no way that they would fire him in season.
Do you, Do you think he would ever just kind of do the thing? Maybe like, okay, I'm not the head coach. I'm not going to make the calls, but I'm the defensive coordinator. Do you think he would ever do that?
Not on this team, not on the Patriots. You know, people are throwing around different situations for him. Maybe going to the Chicago Bears, for example, because Belichick wants the all-time record, the most wins ever as head coach. Like, that's no secret. He's a big historian of the sport. So if he does get let go, another team is going to pick him up. But if it is another team, it should be just as head coach, not as GM. He does not have a good history in the draft. And, you know, he was able to get by so far with Tom Brady throwing to these undrafted wide receivers and guys like that. So, yeah, it should be interesting to see what will happen there in New England. But as a fan of division rival Miami Dolphins, I'm very much enjoying the 1-4 start from the Patriots. Okay, J-Lo, last segment here. Look ahead lines here for week 6 coming up. I know you have your eye on a few. I haven't pulled the trigger on any of these, but I just looked at them before the show came there. A few that look really good to me that I'm going to dig into more. I love the over. Vikings-Bears over 46.5. Seahawks-Bengals, same number, 46.5. The over looks good there as well. Saints have gone under in all 5 games so far this season. I played that in all 5 shows this season, the Friday shows. Am I coming through?
You went down for a second.
J-Lo, we average like 1.2 technical difficulties per show here. And these goddamn computers, we can't trust them. They're going to turn on us one day. They turn on me every episode of the show.
I think you had some Patriots fans coming and cutting your cords at your house.
Finally, I'll wrap up my part there. I love the Dallas Cowboys -2.5 against the LA Chargers. I'm gonna go against the narratives from that game. They've been fantastic after a loss. I think over the past 2 seasons, it's 10-1 ATS after a loss. And I know there's a whole Kellen Moore angle, the Kellen Moore revenge game. We just saw the Nathaniel Hackett revenge game that worked out for the Jets. I don't think it's going to work out for the Chargers, who are also coming off of a bye. So a lot of narratives going against the Cowboys, but I'm going to take them probably inside of a field goal. I think that looks like a good spot. Okay, J-Lo, the look aheads that you have your eyes on here.
Yep. If you follow me on Sunday nights, we do that bet now, bet later, jump on some opening line. So one line that I did jump on a spread was Eagles -6. It's still out there, but it's an expensive 6 right now going up against the Jets. They're on the road against the Jets. It's a short road hop from Philly to East Rutherford. Big thing here, though, is just this is a nasty Eagles defense, and we saw that offense, what they could do against the Rams, controlled the clock, just ground them down, TOP, ate it all up. But you've got Zach Wilson going against this defense. His offensive line was dinged up. He had some guys getting dinged up. I know Becton was left the field for a bit there. They got another guy questionable for this week. And then you've got this Eagles front four that can just get a ton of pressure. Was just all over Matt Stafford this past week. And so I think anything under Eagles 7, and that's starting to pop up. And that's what I kind of said was like, Eagles are alive under a touchdown here, but this is not going to, it's not going to stick around long. So the 6 is out there expensive. There's some 6.5s, but there are 7s popping up across the market now. So if you're with the Eagles in this one, and I've been pretty much betting them every week, just power ratings just keep ranking them out, and they just keep the best two-way team in the NFC, maybe the NFL. So, and the other one that I do have is I bet over 45.5 in Cincinnati and Seattle. I know this one is going to hit 47 at some time this week. If we give the benefit of the doubt to the Cincinnati Bengals, it very much looked like the Cincy attack is back. Looked like Joe Burrow is healthy. He was even having to run around a few times there and on the weekend too. And he looked healthy, got Jamar Chase going. If they can get T Higgins back next week, that's going to be big. They have a bye after that, so maybe they don't go. But they're playing Seattle. Seattle coming off a bye. The last time we saw them, they were stomping the Giants. I think it was 24-3. But their defense, just not very good. If you look at the before that Giants game, one of the worst defenses against the pass. And they can also put up points and score a lot of points too. So expecting a bit of a shootout. Like I said, I bet over 45 and a half. This one now I think is up to 46 and a half. It's jumped in the last like 12 hours. There's still some 46s out there as well too. But I fully expect this to touch that key number of 47, maybe even get over it by the time we kick off on Sunday.
All right, there we have it. J-Lo, before we let you out the door, tell us what else you have going on over at Covers that people can check out this week.
All right. Well, after I wake up from my turkey coma, because we're having dinner tonight, and happy Canadian Thanksgiving to everyone.
Canadian Thanksgiving, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got my power ratings going to come out on Tuesday. I'll have my underdog picks. Went 3-0, now 10-5 ATS for my NFL underdogs column. And then a whole bunch of game previews. And then the Sharp 600. We'll have you, Joe, back on Sharp 600. What are we, 4-1 now with the fade, follow, the follows?
4-1 with the follow segment. Let's get it to 5-1 here.
And we've hit Team 600 teasers the last 2 weeks as well, too.
Yes, sir.
It's paying off to watch. Yeah, it's paying off to watch some of these shows.
Yeah, make sure you are subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel. Yeah. Okay, J-Lo, we will leave it at that, and we'll catch you on the Sharp 600 later this week. Thanks again for joining us, and best of luck with your bets tonight.
You're welcome, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's keep on rolling as we shift gears over to college football. Let's bring in our guy down there in sunny Las Vegas, Brad Powers. How you making out?
How you doing? Well, thanks for having me as always.
Yes, sir. Okay, so we got a trio of picks, but let's kick around a couple topics before we get to those picks, Brad. Let's start with what we saw from Mario Cristobal and the Miami Hurricanes this weekend, where all they need to do was kneel to win, and of course, comedy of errors. They run, they fumble, they end up losing the game. Was that the worst coaching decision you've ever seen in college football?
It's certainly way up there. You know, it's tough to win football games in today's day and age. So, you know, I don't know why you're running the football there. Just take a knee, call it a day. You failed to meet expectations because you already were a 3-touchdown favorite in that game. Obviously, that was as egregious as could be, but just as egregious as the defense giving up a 2-play yes. touchdown drive after the fumble. It's not like they fumbled at their own 10-yard line. I mean, they fumbled at the 25, and Georgia Tech able to go 75 yards, 2 plays, boom, bang, touchdown. I mean, it just – one of the worst losses I've ever seen. And carrying it forward, you got to wonder if it leaks into this week. Because if I'm a player, I got to question my coaching staff. Are they putting me in a best position to win? So it's going to be very interesting to see how they respond this week against a really good North Carolina team on the road.
Yeah, in Pee Wee football, they kneel down at that point of the game. What was going on there? Okay, let's take a look at the national championship odds board here. So we have, you can kind of split the top of the odds board into two or three tiers. The top tier, it's two teams. Obviously, Georgia remains on top, plus 260. This is DraftKings that I'm looking at. Michigan all the way up to plus 340. Then we see a bit of a drop off here. Florida State, Ohio State, Penn State, Washington, Oregon, and Oklahoma, all 8-1 to 14-1. Then a bit of a drop off. Texas, Alabama, and USC 25-1. Alabama still hanging out there at 20-1. So you go down to that second and third tier. Out of those teams, who do you think we should be taking more seriously? And who doesn't stand a chance? Which of those teams should we just maybe throw out and say they have no shot at getting into the national championship game, let alone winning it?
It's a good question. I think most years I would throw out like 10 teams and say, they just don't have a shot. This year's a little bit different, where I think there are legitimately 10, 12 teams that can win it. With that being said, we're starting to see the separation. Now, neither one has played anybody yet, but they're starting to look the part, and it looks like it's repeatable the way they're playing stylistically when you just beat somebody up at the line of scrimmage consistently, and that's Georgia and Michigan. So particularly Michigan more than Georgia, to be honest with you. Out of those second and third tiers, I'm going to give you one that the team's not out of it. They had a disappointing loss on Saturday, but you look at the future schedule, they're going to be favored in every single one of the remaining games, and they're likely to catch their opponent in a rematch in the Big 12 championship game, that being the Texas Longhorns, who I do not think their national title aspirations went up in smoke. Now, their margin for error certainly did, losing to Oklahoma, but that's a team I'm not ready to, you know, crumble up and throw in the garbage can just yet. The team, the big mover this week is going to obviously be the winner of the Washington-Oregon game. I like Washington in the game, so if you want to get out in front of a little bit of a line move there, Washington might be worth something. And again, if you find a really good price on Texas, I think that's a quote-unquote long shot worth a flyer right now.
Yeah, futures betting all about timing, and a team coming off a loss like that may be a good spot to jump on the Longhorn. So what about the Heisman futures odds board? Anything standing out to you there?
So I did make a bet today. Not that I think he's going to be a shoe-in to win it, but I think it's showing some value in my numbers. That's J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback for Michigan, 30-1. If you look at total QBR, he's number one in the country. I know he's not putting up the counting stats as a Michael Penix for Washington, a Bo Nix, a Caleb Williams, but you know, when you're number one in the country in QBR, you're doing something right. And going to get a lot of, keep in mind, the Heisman has transitioned from being a career achievement award to basically who plays the best football in the month of November. And Michigan's going to have two extremely high profile games against Penn State and Ohio State in November. And I'm here to tell you, if J.J. McCarthy performs well, and I like Michigan in both of those games and they win them, he's going to be sitting there in New York. So if I can get a guy 30-1 that's going to be sitting there as a Heisman finalist, I like value.
Yeah, looks like a nice spot there indeed. Okay, so let's get into some of these early looks. Brad, let's start with Cincinnati, Iowa State, a 5-point spread in this one. What side do you like?
Well, first off, let's try to have a winning week here. It's been a tough start here for these bets, to say the least, especially the Monday bets. But here's what I see in this game. Number one, I made the game 7. So hopefully we get in front of a line move here. What do I see advantage-wise? It's a Cincinnati team that statistically is much better than their 2-3 record. You go through all their box scores, and you look at the scoreboard, and you look at the box score, and the box score says Cincinnati should have won by more than the final score, and even in some of the games that they've lost. What I like about this particular team is they got a first-year coach, heavy transfer portal. They just came off a bye. So when you look at some of their inefficiencies, it's in the red zone. So I would like to think they could use the bye week to clean up some of those issues. And they're getting an Iowa State team that's probably sitting fat and happy off an upset win over TCU. So I like Cincinnati, the much more statistically dominant team here, laying a short number.
Okay, next up, we have another game with a spread inside of a touchdown. San Diego State and Hawaii, a 6-point spread in this one. Who do you like here?
Yeah, number one, I made it 7. San Diego State's coming off 4 straight losses. So it's, in my opinion, a buy low spot. But you look at who they lost to. I mean, Oregon State, UCLA, two pretty good Pac-12 teams. Boise State, Air Force, probably the two of the three best teams in the Mountain West. And you also look at what's the market done with San Diego State? Have they thrown them in the trash the last couple of games that they played? No, actually, the market's been betting on San Diego State, especially late in the week. So I like to look at those market moves once the limits open up. And I'm also fading a Hawaii team that, you know, might have won their last game against New Mexico State, but I wasn't overly impressed, to say the least, in that performance. I bet on Hawaii. They should have lost the game. So kind of fading Hawaii as well as playing on San Diego State here, minus the number.
Okay, last but not least, sitting there with a 7-point spread, we have a matchup between Temple and North Texas. Do you like the favorite or do you like the underdog in this matchup?
I like the dog. So this is a teaching moment here. A lot of times this time of year, we're sitting here mid-October, middle of the season. Where do you find some value? Well, I think some teams get expensive and some teams you can get a bargain on. What do I mean by that? Look at how teams are doing throughout the season against the spread. We are betting on a team here in Temple that has not covered a point spread against an FBS opponent this year. So why would I want to do that? They haven't covered yet this year. Why would you want to jump in now? Because we are getting a bargain, in my opinion, on this one. I made this line 5. Nobody wants to bet Temple because they haven't covered a point spread. But I'm here to tell you, they should have last week. It was a very misleading final against UTSA, and they easily should have covered that game, what turned out to be a 15-point loss against UTSA. So I'm not buying a North Texas team that has the worst defense in the country laying points.
Okay, Brad, let's end with this. Of course, as everyone knows, the NHL season starts tomorrow, and everyone's tuning in for your pick to win the Stanley Cup. So who are you picking to win the whole thing this year?
I am not picking the Vegas Golden Knights. I'll put it that way. I don't know. You know how many times I bet on hockey since I've lived here for almost a decade? Three times, and they were all against the Vegas Golden Knights. So I am not a big hockey guy. But if I could bet the no on the Vegas Golden Knights repeating at Stanley Cup, that's what I would do.
Take the field.
Even if I had to lay 20-1. I mean, they were too busy celebrating that Stanley Cup from what I've heard here in town.
Yeah, the boys are probably still hungover from that celebration there in Las Vegas. So, yeah, maybe don't expect a fast start from the Vegas Golden Knights. So we thank you, Brad, for that NHL betting insight there. Brad, of course, will be back with us on Thursday, where we will be breaking down the biggest games of the week in college football. Brad, thanks again for joining us, and best of luck with your handicapping this week.
Hey, thanks for having me as always, Joe.
Yes, sir. Always a great segment with our guy, Brad Powers. Okay, if you're just tuning in and if you missed the Monday Night Football picks off the top of the show, let's recap them right now. I like the Packers as an underdog, +2.5, 14-5 ATS after a loss under Matt LaFleur. And I like Romeo Doubs over 47.5 receiving yards, 25 targets in the last two games for Doubs. That Raiders pass defense, not very good. Could go over that with a couple catches. J-Lo, he's big on Jimmy Garoppolo tonight. He likes the over on his passing yard total, 239.5, and over on his passing touchdowns. Plus money, +105. Okay, let's end things with this. Some wise words from your boy here. Can we stop discrediting players, specifically quarterbacks, specifically Brock Purdy and Tua, because of the talent that they're surrounded by and because of the offensive masterminds that they have as head coaches? Both of these guys are performing at an extremely high level and are at or near the top of the league in a lot of key stats. Yet, all everyone wants to do is give everyone else credit. All Brock Purdy does is win games and lead his offense to 30-point games or more. All Tua has done is lead the Dolphins to having the most yards in the history of the NFL through five games. And everyone wants to knock these guys down because of the talent that they're surrounded by. What else do you want from these guys? People act like you could just throw Carson Wentz in at quarterback for the 49ers or Dolphins, and he's all of a sudden going to be a Pro Bowler. Now, you might say, Joe, take Brock Purdy or Tua off of those teams and put them on a team where they don't have a good offensive coach and great pro bowlers around them, and they're not going to perform as well. Well, no shit. That's the way it works. Look what happened with Aaron Rodgers in his last year in Green Bay. All of a sudden, he didn't have a bona fide number one wide receiver because Devontae Adams went to the Raiders. And what do you know? He had his worst season since his rookie season. That wasn't a coincidence. Look at Tom Brady, his last year in New England. His best receivers, Julian Edelman. Big upgrade to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. What do you know? His stats improved dramatically. That is the way it works. So stop holding certain players to a different standard. It is not fair. Okay, that is it for me, and that is it for this edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. If you like this show, make sure you hit the like button right down there, and make sure you are subscribed to this channel. A lot of great content coming up here this week. We're going to have previews and picks for every single NFL game. We got golf, we got UFC, we got baseball playoffs. The NHL season starts tomorrow. You might recognize here, representing the five-time Stanley Cup champion, Pittsburgh Penguins. The championship window is not closed yet. So we got it all here on the Covers YouTube channel. So make sure you are subscribed. Guys, thank you very much for watching. I will be right back with you on Thursday and Friday this week. Best of luck with your bets tonight. We'll see you next time.